Happy April 10th, everybody. I'm not sure if you're aware, but we are flying through this year. We are 2 weeks outside of Easter already. It seems like it was just yesterday, and at the same time, it seems like it was forever ago. And I look at Easter, and I think, you know, what a great celebration we had to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in the process of that, we get to celebrate how that resurrection changed everything. And I was excited about that, and I hope that you were as well. And I'm glad that we had an opportunity last week to start diving into that everything that Jesus changed. And last week, we dove into the thought and the idea that he's changed our past and that he has taken all that junk that we had. And I had a whole bunch of luggage up here, if you remember from last week, if you weren't here, had all this luggage, and it was all the things that we carry through life, all the baggage that we have, things like addictions, things like things we wish we would have done, things that we did do and we wish we hadn't, and all these things that we're carrying, all the things that people have said to us. And we said, just lay them at Jesus' feet. Because we are supposed to come to him. He says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, all you have burdens on you, all you who have things that are weighing you down, and give them to me. I will let you have my yoke, which is easy and light, and it'll change your life. And that's exactly what he wanted to do and what he wants to do in our lives. And we said, you know, John 10:10 was kind of the verse we wrapped up with, and it's become, I don't know, maybe the underlying theme of this idea that he changes everything. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came so that we might have life, life to the fullest, life more abundantly. But how often are we living in that? How often are we realizing that? We looked last week at the past. And then we're going to look at the present today, the future, and then eternity over the next couple of weeks. And as I think about the present, I think this is probably the most difficult one of the four that we have. And the reason why I think this is the most difficult one of the four that we have is because how often do we live in the present? I mean, when we stop and we think about it and we really evaluate our lives, how often are we living in the present? Or how often are we looking back at the past and seeing what we did and still holding on to those bags, even though we know Jesus said, give them to me, we understand that, but we're still looking back there. Or we're really, really busy, ready, preparing for the future, and we're missing today. How often do we miss today? When I even said that Easter was 2 weeks ago, it seems like forever ago. It almost seems like it was just another day, but it's not just another day, and no day is just another day. And that's what we're going to look at today as we look at this idea that if we're not watching right now, time flies. Time's flying by. As you've heard that, I want you to think about this for a second. On Monday, April 4th, 2016, we celebrated an anniversary as a church because it was on Sunday, April 4th, 2010, that we started. So we've been a church now for 6 years, and I'm not sure how crazy that is to you, but to me, it's super crazy because I got a little girl back there who will be 8 soon. So we started this church when she was barely starting to get up and walk around, and I just can't fathom that. And then the day after, April 5th, was 2-year anniversary of when we landed back in Washington, D.C. with Indale. And I thought, he's been home here for 2 years. And Christy did a side-by-side picture of right after we brought him home and he had this little Tykes piano that he was playing. And Christy did a side-by-side, him playing on the same one. And he's huge in comparison to it. The thing is, he's still tiny. So we look at that and we say, how does time happen so fast? Where does it go? Those of you who are getting ready to celebrate a graduation of some sort, we have kids that are graduating. I think of Ben Lawson, who'll be here in our next service. I've known him since he was 2. And now he's graduating. I think, wait a second, that makes me old. And so there's things that you go, where did the time go? Graduations, birthdays, anniversaries, all of these things, it goes by so quickly. But how do we stop and focus on the now instead of focus on, hey, that graduation day is coming. I have to plan for that. We have that circle on the calendar, and every day between now and then gets missed. How do we avoid that? How do we step up and say, you know what? I know that time flies, but how do I control it? Because there's a quote that says, the bad news is that time flies. The good news is that you're the pilot. You get to control it. You get to control how you spend your time. You get to control how you invest it. How are we going through life? How are we moving through it? Are you moving through it at warp speed? On Tuesday, I made the most necessary purchase of the year. We bought Star Wars 7. And we sat down and watched it as a family. It was the first time Christy has sat down and watched a Star Wars. She didn't make it all the way through. She fell asleep halfway. But she did get to see she did get to see Harrison Ford, and that's really all she really wanted to see. She's like, he's an attractive old man. I'm like, hey, I don't know how to take that. The thinking in it is my favorite part of Star Wars is when they jump into light speed, into hyperspace, and all the stars, you know, go right by them. That's just an awesome thing to think that in the 70s, they actually came up with the technology to make it look like that on camera. I mean, just the things that they had that now just computers do, they did it themselves. And all that, I think about our life like that, though, sometimes. You ever feel like you're just in hyperdrive, and everything around you just a blur as you're blowing by it? And you're missing the right now, what's going on right now in the cockpit, everything just going. Or maybe you're just looking up in the rearview mirror and you're going along with life and all you see is what happened in the past. Now, I'm not sure about you, but driving, looking in the rearview mirror the whole time is not going to end well. But our lives, we do that. We either look in the rearview mirror or so far ahead of everything or screaming right by all the stuff that's going on right now, we miss it. Like I said, this is probably one of the hardest of the four things we have to focus on. The hardest of the four things that Jesus can change. There's so many questions that we have. Well, how can Jesus change my now? My now constantly is happening. And we're thinking about the future. And we're thinking about the things that are coming ahead. And even more so, we have excuses. We know that we need to live now. We know that even if you're a part of the church or if you're not a part of the church, if you've been a Christian your whole life and Jesus is your Savior, or you don't even know what Jesus is saving you from. I think everybody knows that we need to live in the now. The problem is we have a hard time with it. If you guys know, I like movies. And I like movies and I like doing messages on movies. I'm looking forward to this summer doing our At the Movie series again because in every movie, there is a message in that movie. And the reason why I think there's a message in movies is because Jesus wrote a story on our hearts. And in that story he wrote on our hearts, he's telling us that there is a beginning and there is an end to this life. And what you do in the middle, that is your story. That's what God has given us to do. And a lot of times we're so busy thinking about the end, we skip past the middle. We're not living the dash, as it's been said before. And we miss it. And the thing is, like I said, it doesn't matter if you're a part of the church or not, because the stories in the movies tell us the same thing. I could probably throw out a few quotes to you, and you could probably nail them right away. Because they talk about this, and this is the tip of the iceberg. I found four of them real quick in a search. One of my favorite movies of all time is Braveheart. And William Wallace stands up and says what? At the end, he says, every man dies, but not every man really ever lives. And isn't that us? How many of us are really living? You go to something along the lines of something that Jerome mentioned last week from The Shawshank Redemption. Tim Robbins is sitting there talking to Morgan Freeman, and he realizes the captivity that he's in. He realizes the imprisonment that he's locked into. He realizes this thing, and he says, looks over to Morgan Freeman. Basically, this is him planning his escape. If you haven't seen the movie yet, I just ruined it for you. But the thing is he's planning his escape, and he says, you either got to get busy living or you got to get busy dying. You have to make that choice. The outlaw Josie Wales, the guy, bounty hunter, walks in, says, you Josie Wales? And he says, hey, dying ain't much of a living, boy. That's us. Or dying ain't much of a living. Why are we living to die? Why are we just existing and coasting? Let's go with a little bit more lighthearted movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. End of the movie. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and slow down, look around once in a while, you might just miss it. And those are stories from a movie that God has written on the heart of whatever director put that together. But think about this. Think about the brother of Jesus a couple thousand years ago writing to us before those movies ever existed, said the same thing. He said, life is a mist. It's a vapor. It's only here for a little while. You want the perfect illustration of that? How many of you woke up yesterday morning and saw a thing called fog? Because a thing called rain fell the night before. But how long was that fog there? Just a short while. That's what James is saying about our life. That's what he's talking about. I'll go outside movies. I'll go outside to maybe a cultural phenomenon that's going on right now. Zombies. Yep, going to talk about zombies in church right now. Zombies. It's huge. Drive around, you see zombie stickers in the back of people's car that say part of the zombie apocalypse response team. There's a guy at Indale School that has a Jeep that he painted on the side, zombie response team. He misspelled response, but that's a whole different thing. It's this phenomenon to what it is. And I think about this. What's a zombie? What is a zombie? A zombie is a lifeless creature that is just taking up space. Are we zombies? There's a meme that's out there that says, why people worry about the zombie apocalypse when we're already all zombies? And it has this picture of all these people just walking on their cell phones, not paying attention to anything. And that's it. That's what we're just here. But Jesus didn't die for that to happen. We're not supposed to be just here, rushing towards the future, hoping that the future comes. Because what? Someday the future's going to end. And your life's going to end. None of us get out of this thing alive. This is our story. And it plays itself out, and we forget to pay attention to the now. We think about this idea of the zombies, and they even have a TV show called The Walking Dead, and that's what it is. It's just, we're just the walking dead, but are we supposed to be the walking dead? Did Jesus die and raise again so that we could be dead? No, as a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10 tells us this. But God, rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us a what? What? Yeah, I know it was difficult to get up this morning. I understand that. I had the same thing going. I'm just like, oh, is it really Sunday? So just do me a favor and act like you're really excited to be here today, okay? What did he make us? Alive, yes. Alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works that you do, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Not walk in death, not be part of the walking dead, but walk in the works that he's created, because we are alive. We are alive. We need to live like it. We need to live like it. But how many people don't? How many people just go through the motions, hoping to get through the rest of this day? Ephesians 4:1 says, live in a manner worthy of your calling. What have we been called to? We've been called to follow Christ because he lived and he died for us. He rose again for us. He said, I came to give you life, life more full, life more abundant. The thief, he's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one that wants to make your life monotonous. He wants to make your life worthless, but it's not. You are worth one, Jesus to God. Let's do something about it. Let's live a life that says, I am worth it. Jesus came and died for this. He paid for it. Let me live it. Do we do that? And if we don't, why not? Go back to yesteryear. Stephen Curtis Chapman, Christian artist, wrote a song. So there's more to this life than living and dying. More than just trying to make it through the day. You know, as I drove up Broadmoor coming here this morning, the baseball fields are full. I just think, I love baseball. But how many of those parents are devoting all of that to something that's going to be temporary? How many of those parents, they'll give everything to that, but anything that God has is an afterthought? How often do we do that with all things in our lives, that everything else is first and God is an afterthought? Let me give you a number, 14,685. 14,685, you know what that is? How many days I've been alive on this planet. I sat down yesterday afternoon, started on January 25th, 1976, and just started counting. Not really. Google's amazing. But the thing is that of those 14,685 days, how many of them have I wasted? How many of them have I missed in the process of waiting for the next day? Look at this calendar here. How many of us have a calendar that's like this, where the days are just marked off? We've just checked that day off because we have a circle at the end that we're just striving to get to, whatever big day that is, whether we're going to Disneyland or we're just looking forward to the Super Bowl being played or whatever it might be, or the NFL draft. You know, we build our lives towards events, but in the process, we miss the days leading up to it. I can tell you a perfect example in my life. 5 years ago, I was going through radiation treatments. And radiation was miserable. I hated every second of it. I hated it because it made the way it made me feel. I hated the way that it made me tired. I hated the way that it made me just want to get done with today. And I had 37 of them over the span of 8 weeks. And I remember the weekends I hated the most because I couldn't check another one off the calendar. Because it wasn't a day I could go in. And so I'd have to wait that weekend out. I remember, not often do I mark my calendar for golf. But I remember the U.S. Open was going to start the day after I was done with radiation. And I'm like, I just cannot wait for the U.S. Open to start. So desperately waiting for it. I mean, that's not very often I'm getting excited. I'm watching the Masters right now. But even with that, it's because we did it. But I think about those 8 weeks. We had this long paper chain that the kids made for me out of construction paper that every day we'd tear one off. And I thought about every one of those ones that I tore off. What did I miss in the process? I lost 8 weeks in my life. 8 weeks of it. And how many of us do it regularly? How many of us miss weeks of our life, months of our life, and we turn around and we look back and go, oh, where'd all that go? I love what the prophet Jeremiah says to Israel in Jeremiah 2:25. And the wording of the Message version is so cool. I just want to read it to you. It says, slow down. Take a deep breath. What's the hurry? Why wear yourself out? Just what are you after anyway? Isn't that just the most gut-kicking question you can get? What are you after anyway? What is it that you are chasing? What thing? And they say, I can't help it. I'm addicted to alien gods. I can't quit. How often is that us? Our alien gods that we're addicted to, whether that be success or a new vehicle or a sporting event or whatever it might be, we're addicted to those things and we're in this hurry to get to it, that the thing that's going to be temporary, that's going to disappear, that's going to not be there for us when we absolutely need it, but God, who is eternal, who will be there for us at all times, why aren't we chasing him? Just what are you after anyway? You know, when I think about it, the older I get, the more real it becomes. The older I get, last night, I always go down, sit in the front, say, hey, I'd love to pray with you if not. And at the end, Jerome sang the song, and he prays afterwards, and I came to stand up to move up here, and I couldn't get out of my seat because my back hurt. And I'm like, oh, God. And I wasn't saying, like, oh, God, in a negative way. I'm like, oh, God, I need to be able to stand up so I can finish in prayer. And I kind of did the little shuffle. I'm like, Jerome, just keep praying. I'm going to get there, I promise. And I leaned on the table. I'm like, all right, everybody, you guys have a great. And I just, it's like, God, are you reminding me how old I am? Is that what you're doing to me right now? Reminding me that time does fly, you can't just spring out of a chair anymore. You got to get one of those ones that lifts you up. You know, I don't know. But I was sitting there thinking about it, going, man, you know, we miss so much. And we talk about on Friday morning, Ken, I remember you said this, youth is wasted on the young. Because they don't know what they're doing with it. Man, I would love to have that energy again. I would love to be able to point that energy in a direction that had some sort of eternal value versus just wasting it. And I look at that and I say, what is it that we need? How can we not waste our lives? How can we not waste the time that we're given right now? How can we stop for just a second? You know what the answer is? It's rest. That's the answer on how to live in the here, how to live in the now, how to let Jesus change us. Now, you might be thinking, that wasn't the answer I was expecting. I was expecting you to quote from Dead Poets Society when Robin Williams stands up and says, carpe diem, seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary. And that sounds good and all, but you know what? It's not. About starting with rest. And not just rest, like laziness kind of rest, but rest as in sitting at the feet of Jesus. When was the last time we did that? When was the last time every other distraction in the world went away and we sat at the feet of Jesus to let him change our hearts and change our minds and change our perspectives and changes our ideas? How many times have we done that in our lives? How many times have we been rushing to get to the end? You know, I'm not sure if you're one who tweets or throws things on Facebook. This is the question I came up with and said, you know, this is one that's worth asking to everybody. How can Jesus change my now if I never stop to let him? How can I let him into my life if I'm always way ahead of him, always rushing to get to this next spot? And he's like, just chill. What's your hurry anyway? What exactly is it that you're chasing after? Stop, think, have a perspective. Let him open your eyes. Let him open your hearts to what really matters. Last week with the bags, as we filled up these homeless bags to take 170 out, all of them went, and everybody I talked to says, do you have more? You know what that did for me? We went down on Monday to the zoo. And on the way down to the zoo, we saw lots of homeless people. The only problem we had is all my homeless bags were in my van, not in Christy's van, who we were driving. So I didn't have any to hand out. And everybody I've talked to is like, oh, yeah, we had an opportunity to do this. We had an opportunity to do this. We prayed for an opportunity, and the door opened, and I had an opportunity. I said, I only have a female bag left. God, show me a female. All of a sudden, boom, there's a homeless female person standing on the corner. You're like, what? Our eyes are open. Our perspective changes. That's not just a person standing on the road begging. That's a person with a soul and a family and a heart and a love that is needed. And we change as we see and we pray and we stop for just a second and let Jesus catch up to us. And we rest in him. That's why he said last week with the other bags we talked about, the burdens that we carry, lay them at my feet. Give them over to me. Stop wrestling through life. Once again, I love the way the Message version talks about that. It's found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Man, that's a cool phrase. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Doesn't that sound like a travel brochure? But that's what Jesus is offering us, isn't it? He's offering us to be able to live freely and lightly. Take a moment to rest. Take a moment to breathe. Take a moment to put the phone down. To awaken to the wonder of new. To awaken to the wonder of Jesus. Instead of just trying to force the issue, just breathe. To live freely and lightly. We understand that life is a mist. We understand that life is a vapor. We understand that it's short-lived, that it's certain to go away, that it is frail. So today is the day that I need to live. I'm going to give you another number, 86,400. It's the number of seconds in a day. How do you spend them? How do you invest them? Because it's like, we get this massive amount in our bank account every morning when we wake up, and you get to spend them however you choose, but you don't get to save them. Saving time's a myth. We get that to choose to do what we want. How are you investing your time? How are you investing your treasures? How are you investing your talents? Are you doing for the temporary, or are you doing it for the eternal? How are you using what God has given you to take on the next thing? What are we doing starting today, not tomorrow? When you wake up in the morning, are you like, oh, I'll be honest. Even after preaching it last night, I kind of went up this morning and went, oh, of course, that's because Lily was crawling all over me, and I'm like, oh, you know, it was just kind of that morning, and you're like, all right, it's time to get up. Wait, hang on, I could still be asleep for another half an hour. Thing is that when we wake up, when we realize that we're sitting at Jesus' feet, when we're taking that time to rest, when we're really just soaking it in, it changes our perspective on what the day looks like. It changes our perspective on what's important to invest in. It changes our perspective on what time we should give, how we should give our treasures, how we should give our talents. Because we can look at it and say, is this going to affect eternity? Are we truly investing or are we just wasting? And when we see it and we see the change in our hearts, that's what changes are now. When we stop and rest, we see life differently. He changes our past. He changes our present. And this is how. When we're resting in him, it's not by accident in John 15:5 that he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone who abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. How many things in my life have I tried to do apart from God? How many things in my life have I tried to do apart from Christ, thinking that it was going to amount to something, and in all reality, it amounted to what? Nothing. Nothing. His presence matters. Us being in his presence matters. As a matter of fact, I believe his presence is the only thing that matters, because it's the only thing that's going to last. And as we sit in his presence, he changes our heart. He changes our mind. He changes our perspective. That is how we can sing the song, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24 said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How can we possibly rejoice in every day? Max Lucado wrote a book, and it talked about the fact that we are to rejoice in it. And he emphasized the word in. And as he emphasized the word in, he said it's not after it, it's not in spite of it. But wouldn't that make it a lot easier? Wouldn't it make it a lot easier to be able to say, this is the day the Lord has made, I'll rejoice when it's over. Wouldn't that be easier? I wish it was worded differently, but it's not. So what does that mean for us? How are we supposed to respond? Every day, we are supposed to respond by rejoicing. How do we do that? Well, we once again have our perspective changed. The fact that we even get to get up and breathe. The fact that we even got to wake up and sit up out of bed, whether our back hurt or not. We got to sit up. Because you know how many people aren't doing that today? You know how many people will not make it through today? And they're missing it. You know how often I've sat on a deathbed of somebody at a hospital that has thought to themselves, I wish I would have just spent a little bit more time on my phone. I wish I would have just spent a little bit more time at the office. I wish I would have just spent a little bit more time on the meaningless things of life. Never heard it. I don't know why. Because that's what we say now. But when perspective changes, it changes everything. We look back and say, man, I wish I would have spent more time with my family, who a lot of times when I'm sitting in that room aren't even there. And there's a reason for it. It's a real, honest thing. And I think that Jesus didn't have to struggle with it. You look at Jesus' life, and how often was he living in the now? Think he knew the past? Absolutely. Think he knew it was coming in the future? You better believe it. But was he living in the now when he met the woman at the well? Was he living in the now when the woman that was caught in adultery was thrown down in front of him with the Pharisees? Was he living in the now both with her and with them? Was he living in the now when the disciples were yearning to be taught, yearning to find out more about what the calling was that was there? The only time I think he might have been slightly distracted that we can record is when that woman, when he's walking through the crowd, reached out and grabbed his garment, and he's like, who did that? But even then, he gave her his full attention. He lived in the now, and you say, well, Jesus can do that. He didn't have a calendar app on his phone. He doesn't know my tomorrows. He doesn't even know my past. And that's not true. And you know that's not true. But we hold on to those things. And we say, you know, how can we be like him? How can we live in the now and not worry about tomorrow? Because he actually said that, didn't he? Don't worry about tomorrow because it brings enough trouble of its own. Today brings enough trouble of its own. Let's live in the now. Live in the right here. He's given the gift of a day. I mean, think about this for just a second. Creation. In the creation story, The first thing that Jesus, or that God did, was what? Created the heavens and the earth, the light and the darkness, and he separated the light and the darkness and called it what? Day. And that was day one. The first thing he gave us was the gift of a day. How can we rejoice in it? Mitch Albom wrote a book called Tuesday with Maury. It's about a relationship that the author had with Maury, his former professor who was dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. And he records the life-changing perspective that death will bring you. And dying will bring you. And sometimes I think we all forget that we are dying every day. We're one step closer. And I know that sounds morbidly horrible, but it's the reality of life. He talks about this, and I want you to imagine as if you were on the receiving end of Maury's attention that is in this. It says, I came to love the way that Maury lit up when I entered the room. Wouldn't you be glad that people lit up when you entered the room? He did this for many people I know, but it was his special talent to make each visitor feel that a smile was unique for them. And it didn't stop with a greeting. When Maury was with you, he was really with you. He looked you straight in the eye, and he listened to you as if you were the only person in the world. How much better would it be, how much better would people get along if the first encounter of each day were like this, instead of a grumbling from a waitress or a bus driver or a boss? Maury said, I believe in being fully present. That means you should be with the person you are with. When I am talking with you, Mitch, I am trying to keep focused only on what is going on between us. I'm not thinking about something that we said last week. I'm not thinking about what's coming up this Friday. I am talking to you. I am thinking about you. Hang on just a second. I got a text. Don't you hate that? When you're talking to somebody like, oh, hang on just a second. Doggone it. Put the freaking thing away. Did I say freaking just now? I did. I'm sorry. I hate that thing. It's a smartphone, but it's stupid. It gets in the way of everything, and it gets in the way of me, and I get sucked into it. And the thing is, I preached this message to Christy last night to practice, and she said, no, great, are you going to implement it? No, I'm just going to preach it. You know, that's our thinking. That's our thinking in it all. Look what he says here on out. I remember how he used to teach us this idea in group process in the class back at the university. I had scoffed back then, thinking this was hardly the lesson plan for a university course, learning to pay attention. How important could that be? Now I know it's more important than almost everything else they taught us in college. Paying attention. It's one of the greatest gifts we have to give to somebody else, is it not? It's one of the greatest things to live in the now and not worry about what we're going to do next Friday or what we talked about last Friday. Live in the now. Give them your full attention. Pay attention to them. I struggle with this. Life gets busy. We slip into this mode of the only relationships I'm really going to focus on are the ones that are going to benefit me, the ones that I can use. But that's not how God wrote it out. That's not how Paul explained it to us in Galatians chapter 5 when he says, serve one another in love. In Philippians 2, he writes, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Romans 12, he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. See, our relationships aren't for us. They're not for our benefit. Now, we get benefit out of it, but it's so we can serve one another, so we can connect. Paying attention to one another, that's a great form of service. It's a great act of love. How can we do that if we're not living right here and right now? How many times do we daze off into what's next as somebody's talking to us and just becomes a blank stare? See, I think when we could tune out the distractions, when we could put away the phones, when we can say whatever device it is, we can close it and give somebody actual eye contact. Turn to your spouse, turn to your kids, turn to your friend when they ask a question and genuinely care about what they have to say and how they have to answer. Man, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? How many times do you walk into a restaurant? I've mentioned it before and I'll mention it again, but when you walk into a restaurant and you see this family that probably finally found time to get together and sit together and not have something else going on that every single one of them is on their phone, not looking at each other. It's killing it. We're missing it. I think one of the most common problems I hear when I sit and counsel with people is that they feel invisible. Why? Because nobody's paying attention. That's what we hurt at on the inside. How many people is it that we have in our lives that we see but we don't really see? Is there someone that's around us, this very existence is just dying for somebody to pay attention to them? Struggling to make it through. Being present matters. Allowing God to change our perspective matters. I saw this written down. I said, I just got to read it because I can't do any better than what it says. What matters is that we pay attention. What really matters is that we have someone close by to grab hold of as we watch and listen for a glimpse of Christ among us. What matters is we take off the blinders of the rat race and really see this world that we live in. What matters is that we learn to be fully present in whatever moment we find ourselves, realizing that if we don't, all too soon, we will have missed so much. We only have a certain amount of days that we're given, 14,685. That's how many I've been given. I would love to say I'm going to make it to 14,686, but I have no guarantees. I have no guarantees. As a matter of fact, I woke up this morning to an ESPN update. Defensive end for the New Orleans Saints got rear-ended last night. And in the process, he got out to confront the driver. The driver shot and killed him. 34 years old. Shot his wife twice in the leg, leaving three kids behind. You think he went out last night with his wife on a date thinking, probably not going to make it through the night? Nope. The reality is that life isn't eternal here. It is eternal there. How we invest our time that God has given us here makes all the difference. I remember when I was younger, all I wanted to be was older. I wanted to be out of high school. I wanted to be able to drive. I wanted to be out of my parents' house. I wanted all of those things. And you know what I want now? I want that same desire and passion that I had when I was young. But guess what? I don't have yesterday anymore. All I have is today. All I have today, and this is the day that the Lord has made, I need to rejoice and be glad in it. Whether it's a good day, a bad day, or a tax day, it doesn't matter. I need to rejoice. I need to rejoice in the fact that I am breathing, I am moving. How do I do that? It starts by slowing down. It starts by putting these things away. I might have broken that when I slammed it down, by the way. Which wouldn't be a bad thing, right? Yeah, Christy's praying that it broke. Rest. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll put that on the website. Realizing who you are. Realizing who you are in Christ. Taking a moment to rest in him. Taking a moment to let him change your now, to change your perspective, to change your heart, to change why you exist in the first place. That it's not about chasing. It's about following and following him and resting in him and doing what he's called you to do. That is to be present here and now. That's my prayer for you today. Allow him to change your today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you that you are patient with us. That even as Jeremiah wrote, what is it that you're after anyway? You ask that question to us. You've placed that question on our hearts. You've even placed it on our hearts this morning. Maybe that's the one that is bouncing around in somebody's head right now. What is it that I'm chasing after anyway? God, I pray you make it very evident what we're chasing after. And if it's not you, that you change that. You put that burden on our heart to chase after you, to follow after you, to sit at your feet and rest and to listen and to bring our burdens to you and to bring our baggage to you and to bring all the things that we're worried about even for the future to you. Because you didn't come. You didn't send your son to die so that we could just exist, so that we could be buried in a life that is being destroyed by Satan, but instead we could be living a life of full abundance. God, that's not the description that a lot of people can write for their life right now because there's so many things going on. God, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to that as we sit and rest in you. That today is a day that we won't just cross off as a box, but instead that box on the calendar is something we can fill with things that we've been able to do for you because you've called us to it, because you've changed our perspective, you've opened our eyes to what you'd have us be. But it all starts right here. right now. Pray it in your name. Amen. I'm going to slide down here to the front. And, I may have misspoke last night when I told the Saturday night crowd this. I said, I don't think you need me to pray for you. I think you need to talk between you and God. That's incorrect. You do need to talk between you and God, but maybe you do need me to pray for you. I'm going to be down here if you need me to pray for you, because maybe you're distracted by something. Maybe there's something that is getting in the way. Maybe you just can't find the off button on this because you've never had to turn it off before, and I can show you how to do that and enjoy a Sunday without it. I'll be down here in the front as we sing this song, because sometimes we try and do it in our own strength, but it's not our strength that does it. It's His. It's asking Him to come in, change our lives, change our perspective, change everything about us, and plug into Him. Abide in Him, like it says in John 15:5. Like I said, I'll be down here. If you want to pray on your own, though, please do. Stand, sit, kneel, however you want to respond.
Talking with Rick in the back about youth trips, and when I was in my early 20s, it was very easy to go run around with the youth. And last year when I went on the youth trip, it was a little more exhausting. I was looking forward to the 9 o'clock bedtime. Have a hard time. I mean, this message is very convicting for me because I have a hard time shutting down. I don't know if it's because of my upbringing. If I was laying down and resting on the couch, my grandma was always saying, you know, there's weeds to be chopped and wood to be chopped, and just, you know, you had to be busy until the sun went down, basically. And so I think that it's kind of convicting for me, because I feel like I sometimes my family gets the short end of that deal, because I know my wife would like to hang out a little more, and I'm like, well, the sun's up, so better do something outside and make sure something gets done around the house. But also, I like the chorus of the song that says, even the young will grow tired and even the strong will grow weak, and I don't want to have to wait till then to have to be slowed down. Instead, listen to God now and be able to shut it down a little bit and enjoy what He's doing today. Enjoying the day that He has made and blessed me with, instead of looking forward to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So let's sing the song about real strength, and it's just a declaration that God is our strength. He is the one who's able to do it.